It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Jamal Murray did something that was very un-Nugget-like. He called attention to himself, sort of. In an interview with Hoops Hype, he was talking about the best duos in the NBA. And he said, quote, "If you want me to rank where I believe, I think we, him and Jokic, are the best duo. I think others are in a bigger market. People have more interest in LeBron and AD in LA, or what Dame and Giannis could be, or what Luka and Kyrie could do. If we're talking about the best duos and getting the job done and how they play for each other and with each other, I think me and Jokic are undoubtedly number one."
I don't know that anybody would argue that.
Oh, plenty of people would argue with that.
Why? You think people would argue that they're not the best duo?
Oh, come on, Mark. In this ESPN world that we live in, of course they're going to be hyping. You think if Stephen A., J.J. Redick, and Kendrick Perkins did a round table on the best duos in basketball, they were doing their top five duos, where do you think Jokic and Jamal show up?
I think they show up number one.
I think they show up maybe number five.
I think they show up number one, but with the caveat. Yeah, they're the best duo in basketball. But if the game was on the line, I'd take, you know, Luka and Kyrie. Like, I heard one guy saying that Luka should be the MVP because he's the only one that's been able to make it work with Kyrie. That's why he's the MVP.
Well, it's not worthy of getting the MVP, but it is worthy of some note.
It
did
make me think.
Kyrie does tend to kill whatever team he goes to. He is the human cancer basketball player wherever he's gone. So I think you do give Lucas some credit for making it work, but not, okay, that automatically vaults him to MVP status.
Do you think in the summertime when basketball's over, if you put a trip together that I'm taking a group to the edge of the earth where you can look over into space?
Yeah.
You think Kyrie would sign up to go?
Sure. He's a flat earther.
Mm-hmm.
Check the text line in 3, 2, 1. But, no, I have no doubt that Jokic and Murray, forget about the best duo in the NBA right now. They're the best duo I have seen since Stockton and Malone. Just the way, because I think people mistake duos or dynamic duos. Sure, there are plenty of teams that have two really good players out there.
Yeah, but two that feed off one another.
Exactly.
Right.
Especially in crunch time. Especially when everybody in the arena knows that come crunch time, these two are going to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to work off each other and play off each other. And there's no other combination like that in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's not even close, but Jamal makes a very good point. He also goes on to talk about himself. And he said, quote, "I know I'm better than some of the all-stars that have been selected. It's not like it really boils down and bothers me like that. I know I don't need to prove it to myself. I think it's annoying sometimes how just because you haven't made an all-star, they don't put you in certain conversations or whatever, for whatever reason, when clearly a lot of people would rather take you over others." Amen, Jamal. Thank you for saying that. I just do not, and I've been an NBA fan since the early 80s. I do not understand the fascination with being an all-star and why it matters so much. I don't know why it matters so much to players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it matters so much to those who evaluate the game and determine who the best players and who aren't. I do not understand why so much focus is...
How can you not understand that?
Because I think Jamal Murray is exhibit A in what doesn't make sense to me. Because here's a guy that clearly shows that under the brightest lights, under the most pressurized situations, this guy is one of the top well, in my opinion, top two guards in all the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Steph Curry.
So, but how
but yet, if I, we did this exercise last week. If I walk around 10 NBA cities and walk up to 10 fans in all of those cities and say, name me the best guards in the NBA, they're going to instantly fall back on the all-star guard. It's going to be Dame.
Of course
they are. It's going to be a bunch of Devin Booker. And it's going to be a bunch of guys who are elevated to a level that they don't belong, because who cares if you go to an all-star game?
Okay, because we care. Because it's how the annals of history are kept.
Is it?
Sure. We had this conversation last week, Mike, and we're like, well, who's a comparable? And we're comparing the Spurs to what the Nuggets are doing. And what do? We took out the big fundamental stats and we're like, wow, I didn't realize he was an 8-time All-Star. I didn't realize he had won, you know, 2 MVP. I didn't realize he would, like, we went through all his accolades. His accolades were ridiculous.
They were ridiculous, but I have never, ever, ever been with a group of buddies arguing the top players, the greatest players in any sport, and making my argument based on how many All-Star games they went to.
Right, because
you're never going to make the argument for Wayne Gretzky being the greatest of all time in hockey for how many All-Star games he went to.
No, because your eyeball test works. But when it goes to Hall of Fames, what happens? When you're voting for the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Fame voters get together, what do?
They parse through all the stats and accomplishments, sure.
Yeah, because not all of them have seen with their own eyes what a guy did. Like, LeBron James is going to go down as one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA, and rightfully so, because he's done it forever. But when it comes down to the best ever conversation, and you, with your eyes that have seen, you know, Michael Jordan play,
right,
and your eyes have seen LeBron James flopping all over the place, you're going to go, naturally.
But the
guys that have never seen Michael Jordan, they go to the stats.
But have you ever, 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 anybody out there listening, ever had a greatest of all time debate with your buddies, and the person who was nominated as the greatest of all time never won a championship? Of course not. Any greatest of all time conversation always centers around guys that won championships. It's the one common denominator among all these debates. So if the championships are what always comes up when we're having the greatest of all time debates, why shouldn't the championships matter more here when how people look at Jamal Murray? And the fact that he thinks that, like, the dude could win another NBA championship this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be right in suggesting, I still will not get my just due until I'm named to an all-star team.
100%. But I would counter with this. Like, we talked about Derrick Brown the other day signing with the Carolina Panthers, and he only had 4 sacks or something. Dude, tosses offensive linemen around. Guy is a phenomenal run defender, and he plays with great effort and stuff. But people do not recognize his greatness because his sack numbers are not very good. And, you know, and it comes down, for a lot of people, it just comes down to stats. And by the way, the PA has negotiated, the Players Association, the union has negotiated getting Supermax contracts based on All-Star games.
Or first or second team.
All
NFL, but, all NBA. Real quick, I know we got to break, Johnny, but at least Jamal recognizes he's being honest when he says, it's one of those things where I've got to make it. And clearly that's what's separating me from the greatest. Then I've got to make an all-star one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully next year. That's sad. And I'm sorry. That's sad that the way that we view the NBA,
right,
that here's a guy who's shown already, and will probably show again this playoff season, he is one of, if not the top guards in the NBA when it matters most, still feels like in order to get his just due, he has to make some stupid all-star
test. Well, the other thing he's got to do is he's got to be healthy. Because he hasn't been healthy. So in the last couple of years, you know, he's missed time early in the season. And that's when, you know, that all-star voting the first half of the season goes.
All right. Coming up next, there's a proposed Broncos trade out there that checks a lot of boxes if you're a Broncos fan. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They never had the dedication.
Dover and Stowe coming up at 10. You know what I'm doing on the way home?
What's that?
I'm totally doing this. I'm going to stop on my way home. There's a Safeway right along my way home.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go in. I'm getting a gallon of milk and some Apple Jacks. Our cereal conversation earlier, I am jonesing now for some,
really,
some Apple Jacks. We had the it came up early on in the show, like your favorite cereals and how old do you have to be before you have to give up eating kids' cereals,
right?
And in my opinion,
you're like,
never too old.
You're gonna get milk. Can you sing the jingle?
The jingle?
Apple Jacks jingle.
There's a jingle for Apple Jacks?
Oh, come on. A is for Apple, J is for Jack, cinnamon toasty Apple Jacks. You need a good breakfast, and that's a fact. Start it off with Apple
You're
Jacks.
You're right, I forgot
Apple
about
Jacks,
that.
Apple Jacks, la-da-da-da-da.
You remember?
Yes, Fever, tell me you got that.
It's the Apple Jacks.
Yes, you're right.
I am, of course I'm right.
You know, I'm hearing from Rogue and Johnny Fever over there. You know, I'd like to get my natural almond flakes.
Honey
and,
bunches
honey
of oats.
Honey bunches of oats, you know.
Have you ever had honey bunches of oats?
It's disgusting. It's not fun. How's that?
Wow.
How's that for a takeaway?
Touche.
Honey bunches of oats is just oat cereal.
Yeah.
It's just sugar disguised as healthy. It's not good for you.
No lie. My mom... You know, love my mom, but my mom was so on the.
Oh, Rogue has the Apple Jacks jingle.
Oh, you have it?
Let's see.
Well, you can finish telling your sweet story about your mom.
Well, my mom was, she never wanted us to have
sugary cereals.
It always had to be healthy cereals. Do you know what she would lay out as one of our options? Do you remember?
Oh, I know exactly what
you
you're
know where
say.
I'm going.
Grape nuts.
No, oh, that's
corn
even,
flakes.
No, corn flakes, which I would try to smuggle sugar onto them to
right.
make them frosted flakes.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
I tried that every once in a while.
Wheaties without the
nope,
the frosting on top.
Nope, Weetabix. Those chunks.
Yeah, the big chunk of wheat.
Wheat, and you couldn't pour enough milk on that thing to get it soft enough.
The milk would just disappear. It'd be like invisible milk.
It would just soak it up like a sponge.
Yeah.
Weetabix.
Yeah.
Ugh. Disgusting. All right, you got the Apple Jacks?
A is for apple, J is for jack, cinnamon toasty Apple Jacks. You need a good breakfast, that's a fact. Starting off with Apple Jacks. Apple Jacks, Apple Jacks.
You nailed it!
I know.
1978?
Don't think I was watching cartoons.
Apple Jacks.
Saturday morning.
Part of your good breakfast.
Apple Jacks.
Wow, you nailed it, dude.
Yeah.
Good
That's a really good recall from the 50s.
That is an excellent recall. You and George Carl both nailing the Apple Jacks.
Yeah, I watched some cartoons in 1978 sitting in front of my black and white television.
Wow, that's good. Anyway, yeah, I'm sorry. You're never too old to enjoy some good sugar.
Dude, I cannot wait to watch.
I'm getting some Apple Jacks.
I need somebody to record you going into the grocery store, grabbing Apple Jacks.
Well, you
like,
never,
will you go in there?
You never
like,
know. There
proud?
Might be somebody listening right now.
Are you going there proud, or will you kind of just
no,
slither
proud,
around?
Proud.
Okay.
I enjoy, whenever I am sent on a grocery shopping run, I enjoy just kind of walking down the cereal aisle going, ah, I miss this, I miss that.
The glory days.
Miss this, I miss that. If it was up to me, I'd get this, I'd get that. And you know what? Enough's enough. Damn it. I'm going to live.
Are you going to get the big box or one of the, like, just one serving boxes?
No. I'm getting a big box.
Did I ever tell you how grocery stores work? They ever tell you the kind of the principle behind a grocery store?
No.
The flow chart of a grocery store?
The flow chart of a grocery store. This sounds fascinating.
It is fascinating because of, you know, stinking good green chili.
Uh-huh.
So you always enter usually the right-hand side of the grocery store. Okay? It's not, the entry is not in the middle. It's usually on the edge.
Yes, correct. Right
and
side,
yeah. The flow takes you through produce.
Yep.
Into meats.
Yep.
Into dairy. Into the deli. Right?
Yeah.
And the breads are into the breads and then deli and then to the checkout lines.
Right.
Okay.
The outside
loop.
Yeah.
Now, the number one shop, you know what the number one shopped area of a grocery store is?
Produce.
No. The number one shopped is dairy.
Okay.
Eggs and milk and cheese and all that. Okay. So, do you know what the markup is on the outside edge of the grocery store?
Versus the inside.
Yes.
The markup. Tell me.
About 60% profit margin on the outside where it's shopped.
Uh-huh.
Now, the aisles are hunted. Aisles in the grocery store are hunted. You know what you want. You're going to a specific spot in the aisle. You're not shopping it. You're hunting it.
Interesting.
So those prices are probably 35 to 45% profit margin. The least shopped area of any grocery store is the freezer section where you can get away with giving less profit to the grocery store. Henceforth, the reason stinking good green chili is frozen. And those areas of the grocery store are the least shopped because the majority of people who shop in a grocery store are women and they don't like to be cold. That's the psychology of grocery shopping.
Seriously. It's science. It's laid out. The flow chart.
It's like going to Costco. How many times you go to Costco? The average shopper goes to Costco once every 6 weeks. Every time you go, things that you know are in a certain area are moved.
That's a good point.
Why?
That always irritates me. Why'd you move things?
They always move it. They always reset the shelves. Why? To make you shop.
They don't want you to get comfortable.
They want you to keep you
in. They don't want you to hunt.
They want you to keep looking.
Oh,
because the more you look, the more apt you are to buy things that you didn't come in for. Psychology of shopping. You're welcome.
Man. We consumers, we have no shot. We have no chance. We're just
zero
constantly
chance.
Being manipulated.
Yeah, zero chance.
Jeez. Fan Flyaway, presented by Sport Clips. It's back. We're giving you a chance to head off to the Pro Basketball Championship in June. We certainly hope a certain team is there. And what you'll get is two tickets to a game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, maybe New York, Boston, Milwaukee. That'd be fun. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, good news, you're already part of the club and you're automatically entered into this one and all future Flyaway contests. So get to denversports.com/thefanflyaway on the text line. I would stab somebody right now for some golden grams.
Golden grams is gonna be something better than gold.
Yeah, they're not too bad. They're not too bad, but they're not Apple Jacks. Man, I can't believe you nailed the jingle. What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
All right, I've been overruled on what's trending by Johnny Fever. We're going to do what's trending here coming up in a little bit. Because Mark has to leave a little early today. Why are you leaving a little bit early today? I mean, I you told me earlier, it's a totally acceptable reason. You have my permission.
Oh, well, thank you, Dad.
This is an excused absence coming up at 9:45. So we'll do what's trending at 9:45. But what...
Yeah.
You got something with your grandson?
Yeah, my grandson has got a spring concert at his little school.
How old is he?
Three.
What's he going to be doing?
He's going to be rapping. I said a hip, a hop. We've been working on it all week.
Yeah, right. He's gonna,
some little Wheezy.
He's going to drop some little Wheezy on you.
No, we went old school on him. Okay. We're going the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah, okay, okay. I like it. So you'll leave a little early. We'll do some What's Trending. We'll get some great audio that we'll share with you coming up. But Johnny wanted to play a game with us because we love games.
Oh,
you especially
love
games.
Yeah,
but
I do love games.
Your love of games has rubbed off on me. So what's the game you want to play here, Johnny?
So we were talking about best duos in the NBA. So I went back and found Stephen A. Smith's list from 5 months ago.
Ooh.
And I gave you guys the names. I can reiterate them, or you can, Mike, whatever you'd like to do. And then I wanted you to make your own list of those top five. And then what you thought Stephen A. put his list on his top five.
Oh, okay.
I like this.
I like this game.
It's a good game.
Okay, so here are your five duos in no particular order. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Giannis and Dame Lillard. LeBron and Anthony Davis. And Jokic and Murray. Now, how would you rank those duos 5-1?
5, LeBron and AD. 4 goes to Kawhi and PG. 3 goes to Giannis and Dame. 2 goes to KD and Booker. And 1 goes to Joker and Murray.
Wow, we had some differences here. I have 5, Giannis and Dame. That just does not feel like it's fitting.
Yeah.
That has not clicked. So I go 5. I wouldn't even put them in there, but okay.
Yeah.
4 would be LeBron and AD.
Okay.
3 would be Kawhi and Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
2 would be KD and Booker, and then 1 would be
Jokic and Murray. So we got two of the
same.
Yeah.
1 and 2 we got the same.
Yeah.
All right, now we got to figure out what
Stephen A would go.
Stephen A would do.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Yeah, who would he put fifth?
Fifth?
Would he put fifth, Stephen A?
I put LeBron and AD fifth.
You think he put LeBron and AD fifth? No freaking way.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's no way he would do that.
No way.
Okay, I'll go Giannis and Dame fifth, and then I go LeBron and
AD. Stink, you say 5, Mike, you say 5, then I'll say 5.
Okay.
So you say what you think Stephen A would do,
yeah.
Both of you 5, I'll reveal the answer.
Okay.
We'll go like that from 5.
All right,
what do you think?
I'm going to go Giannis and Dame 5.
I think you put Jokic and Murray 5.
Kawhi and PG.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, all right.
All right, Stephen.
Then 4, I go LeBron and AD 4.
I think 4, he put Jokic and Murray.
LeBron and AD.
Wow. Stephen A, I'm actually a little bit surprised.
Okay. And then 3, I'm going Jokic and Murray.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jokic and Murray again.
Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Wow. So
that leaves Giannis and Dame and Jokic and Murray?
Giannis and Dame 2?
Nope, I'm going to go Jokic and Murray 2.
So I'll reveal number one. Number one on Stephen A's best 5 duos in the NBA from 5 months ago, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. So 1, Jokic Murray. 2, Giannis and Dame. 3, KD Booker. 4, LeBron and AD. 5, Kawhi and PG.
See, this just shows that... This just reveals what Stephen A is all about.
There's an agenda.
No, it's not even an agenda because I think deep in his, if you got Stephen A alone and you're just talking to him and it was just him being honest, no cameras around or anything like that, he would say Nikola Jokic is the best player in basketball. It's not even close. But he works for ESPN. He makes a lot of money at ESPN. His job is to get clicks and people to tune in and eyeballs in, and he knows that the major markets drive things, which is why this revelation that you're saying 5 months ago that he put Jokic and Murray at number one is actually kind of pleasantly surprising. And it surprises me because it goes against everything else he does when it comes to promoting individual teams or
players. Well, it's from 5 months ago now. So
I'm surprised he didn't put Tatum and Brown in there.
That's what I was saying. Or Luka and Kyrie would probably be on that list now.
Yeah. There's no question. But the whole thought process then obviously was nobody can work with Kawhi. So that tandem's not going to work.
You mean Kyrie?
Yeah, Kyrie. What did I say? Kawhi? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Kyrie. Yes, I do mean Kyrie.
All right, if you had to redo your duos.
Redo my duos.
And you could put any 5 duos in there.
Any 5 duos? Ooh.
Like, you'd have to put Luke and Kyrie in there now, right?
Wouldn't they be at 2, I think?
They,
Murray and Jokic.
Murray, Jokic, and then, well, I mean, Celtics did have the best record in the league, so I think I'd have to put, I'd probably go Jokic, Murray, Tatum, Brown.
They don't feel like a two-man game to
me.
Well,
none of these guys are two-man games. You think LeBron and AD is a two-man game?
No, but I think, I mean, I don't, could be a two-man game, depending on if, it's like a marriage, depending on if AD has a headache or not, whether you're playing the two-man game.
I have no idea what that means. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I have no idea what that means.
What? Let's talk about that blister on your hand.
Like you're angry at it.
Does it owe you money?
An interesting one would be Rudy Gobert and...
Rudy Gobert can have no...
I would say Cab, but he's been hurt.
Well, I mean, Rudy Gobert has...
And Anthony Edwards?
If you want to go Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards...
Right, but Cat's been injured.
I know.
But Rudy Gobert doesn't play offense.
No. No.
I think he's Gobert. Talk about D-bag.
Is there since everyone loves SGA, who's his? Is it SGA?
Is his Robin?
Chet Holmgren?
Chet is the guy from Weird Science, isn't it?
Chet would be a name that I thought would have died by now. When we were doing our list of dying names, I'd easily put Chet up there. But there's actually a prominent Chet.
No, seriously, wasn't Chet the big brother from Weird Science?
Oh, jeez.
Like it was Bill, what was the guy's name? He passed away recently.
Oh, the guy from Twister.
Bill
Titanic.
Paxson.
Bill Paxson, yeah.
That's right.
He was the older brother. He got turned into that blob thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird Science. Oingo Boingo.
Chet.
Great 80s band.
No more Chets. But Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, you're not going to find many Chets.
Nope.
And staying to your point on Rudy Gobert, him and Jokic were the only players in the NBA to be top three in offensive and defensive ratings this year, according to StatMuse.
I thought that Jokic can't win the MVP because he doesn't play defense. I heard that last week. By a bunch
of guys. False narrative. Like Rudy Gobert didn't play offense.
And another Jokic stat here for you. Wow. Another Jokic note. First player in NBA history to finish the season top 10 in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. So there you go. Guy who supposedly doesn't play defense becomes the first player in NBA history to finish in the top 10.
Wow.
Points, rebounds, assists, steals.
They've been playing the NBA, too, since the 80s.
A little bit longer than that, but I get your point.
That's when I started watching it.
I get your point. All right, go have fun with your grandson.
I'm like a Patriot fan.
All right.
The league started in 2000.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Try to get some, hey, I'm a diehard Patriot fan. Really? Name one guy who played before 1990.
Yeah.
Go. Okay. Have fun with your son. Can't wait to hear the rapping.
Yeah.
Make sure you get a bootleg copy of it, will you? For us so we can play it tomorrow. We'll have What's Trending coming up next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
So Mark had to leave a little earlier. He's got a thing with his grandson, which is awesome. A little show that the three-year-olds are doing. So, that's cute. So let's give some of the great audio that we've had a chance to play throughout the course of the day. So Caitlin Clark yesterday was drafted number one overall in the WNBA draft. And her jersey in all like five sizes at Fanatics sold out within an hour. We talked about this earlier. Rogue, I need to bring you in on this, okay? Because And I got a lot of reaction to this on the Ramoslav.com text line. Why the current players of the current stars of the WNBA, but more importantly, the players that came before are seemingly so against Caitlin Clark. They're not willing to embrace her.
Yeah.
And we heard a lot during the NCAA tournament. We heard it a lot again yesterday about, she's going to be in for a rude awakening when she comes into the WNBA. Explain it to me, because it just feels to me really petty and catty.
Yeah, I think coming at her personally is petty and catty, and there's probably a bit of jealousy in there, for sure. However, I do understand a little bit of the annoyance because it's just not sustainable to give so much hype to one player. Like, there's other teams in the league. There's games every single night. Like, that type of energy needs to be brought every single day, all season, in order to lift the sport up. Like, you're not lifting the sport up of women's basketball by watching one player.
Yeah, but we have plenty of evidence that suggests that individuals have come along and rescued a sport. Bird and Magic rescued the NBA. Tiger rescued rescued golf. The WNBA is still struggling to find itself, and you would think that the players would welcome somebody that can come in and bring this kind of attention.
Yeah. I think that it's, like I said, it's messed up if they're just attacking Caitlin Clark as a person because she didn't do anything other than just ball out. But I think that there should be more attention placed on, like, hey, like, all right, to the media, if you guys are going to, like, spend hours and hours and hours talking about one player, just make sure that when the season starts, you're talking about all the other games that are going on throughout the week. You know, because it's like, it's one thing if you want to watch Caitlin Clark play a game, but there's other games that are going to be played throughout the season. And I think that those players just hope that that same amount of attention is going to be placed the whole season.
But if you had to come up with one word, one emotion to describe the reaction that you're hearing towards Caitlin Clark, what would it be?
Annoyed.
Annoyed?
Yes.
See, I would go with jealousy.
I think it's more annoying. I think they're more annoyed. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, Sunday in the NBA, there were a lot of games that did not mean anything, and teams were just 1-2-3 Cancun, let's get it over with. So one game was the Houston Clippers game. And in the fourth quarter of that game, Boban Marinovic went to the free throw line. And apparently at Clipper games, there's an in-house arena promotion that in the fourth quarter, if a opposing player misses two free throws, everybody in the arena gets a free chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. Well, Boban went to the free throw line and apparently was aware of the promotion.
There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your chicken.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
By the way, guys, if we don't get the he gave him chicken drop, we need he gave him chicken.
Yeah, we're on it.
All right. Boban knew exactly what was going on, pointed to the crowd, bricked up the second free throw. Everybody gets chicken. Hey, when you're playing the games and nothing matters, free chicken becomes a big deal.
Did you see that they're doing that at McDonald's? So at McDonald's, you can get a free double cheeseburger the day after if the Rockies hit a double. Did you see that?
So we have given up on the fact that they're going to be able to score 7 runs in a game and get free tacos, so now we're just hoping for doubles, huh?
Yes.
Well,
only through the app, though, folks.
Okay.
Found that out the hard way.
Okay. Are they still doing the 7-run taco thing? Because I don't think that's going to happen too often this season.
We'll look into that.
We'll look into that. Good. Okay. Speaking of the Rockies, by the way, In only this can happen to the Rockies fashion. Only can happen to the Rockies. So not only do they lose a game, but they have a bunch of guys who are sick. Bud Black finds himself in need of a pinch runner. And Bud, we love Bud, but dude, what are you doing? He puts Kyle Freeland out there. And I know that Freeland has stunk this year, but in theory, he is still your number one starter. Who puts their number one starter out there on third base to run when this can happen?
Yep. Oh, this gets by. Here comes Freeland. Play at the plate. Out at the plate. And did Freeland get hurt?
Yes, Drew. Drew Goodman there with the call. MLB TV. He hurt his shoulder. Non-throwing shoulder, but he hurt his shoulder. Wow. Only the Rockies. Only the Rockies would have this kind of stuff happen to him. So Kyle Freeland, who knows how long he's going to be out. banged up shoulder. Could be going to Albuquerque. Isotope fans, get ready. Who would have thought? You probably figured your first Rocky that you're going to see on a rehab assignment would be Chris Bryant. Might end up being Kyle Freeland. But only the Rockies. And I love Bud, but come on, Bud. No more tacos? Tacos went away? It's because Taco Bell knew that they wouldn't be selling.
Yeah, they're not going to be selling many tacos.
They're not going to be selling many tacos this year with the Rockies. They're like, oh, they're going to lose like 110 games. I guess we'll drop that one. But you can get a free double cheeseburger on the McDonald's app if they hit a double.
Have you seen the videos of like putting out a McDonald's cheeseburger for like a year? And it hardly ages, doesn't mold that much. Have you seen that kind of
thing? Does that really surprise you?
No.
I've seen people have them from like 20 or 30 years ago.
Seriously?
Just like wrapped up, you know, saved.
Saved?
Yeah, you can YouTube it.
And it doesn't change?
It changes a little bit, but not as much as you would think.
Wow.
You think it'd be just gone in 20 years.
And they thought only cockroaches would survive a nuclear holocaust. So apparently it's cockroaches and McDonald's double cheeseburgers.
Yep.
That actually doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all. Nikola Jokic with a new set of Hotel.com ads. These are good. It's like his top 10. He answers like his top 10 questions about traveling and hotels and everything like that. He was asked what his ideal breakfast is when he's at a hotel.
5-egg scramble, ham, bacon, cheese, spinach. Don't make it runny, don't make it really hard. Right in the middle, perfect. Oatmeal, pecans, almonds, blueberries, honey. You got it? Then shake all the berries, banana, and a little bit of apple juice. Literally 5,000 calories right there.
That's a 5,000 calorie breakfast? 5-egg scrambled, ham, spinach, a shake with a bunch of berries in it, and oatmeal with like almonds and nuts in it. 5,000 calories?
I don't know. John knows more about that stuff.
I could get
5,000 sounds a bit.
I could get to a 5,000 calorie breakfast a lot more fun than that sounds.
Doesn't sound awful.
By the way, more from Jokic. He talked about his first hotel memory.
We were traveling to Bulgaria, actually, for a first season game. So six players in one room, six players in the other room. And we were playing the game and you put something on your eyes and you don't see and you chase other people around in your room. One guy get injured. Tomorrow we lost the game. When we came back, we ran 50 suicides.
Bunch of tall European Serbian basketball players in one room playing, what, pin the tail on the donkey? Hide and go seek? Or, I don't know, whatever they do in Serbia. Sounds like a lot of fun. One guy gets hurt and they end up having to run when they get back. Finally, tonight, the Lakers and the Pelicans in the play-in game, the winner gets the Nuggets in the first round. So a growing sentiment and a subject of conversation out there in the NBA world that our team's going to avoid playing the Nuggets and would rather play Oklahoma City, even though Oklahoma City is the top seed. So are you looking at a scenario where tonight the Pelicans and Lakers both would have incentive to lose, knowing that they would get another chance to host the winner of tonight's other play-in game between Golden State and Sacramento, with the idea that if you win that game, you get the number 8 seed and you get Oklahoma City instead? It'll be fascinating to watch. 5:30 tonight, TNT, Pelicans, Lakers. Does it become clear as you watch the game that these teams are trying to lose so that they don't have to play the Nuggets? That will be fascinating to watch. And I think I'll leave you with this. If you're a Nugget fan and you've put up with decades of crap having to deal with the Lakers, all those games, all those losses, all those championships, all those good Nugget teams that kept running into great Laker teams, and to think that things have changed now to the point where the Nuggets own the Lakers, and the Lakers, the vaunted Lakers, would be going into this game thinking, we want to lose so that we can avoid the Nuggets. Honestly, Nugget fan, does it get any sweeter than that? No. Hey, don't forget, speaking of them, we hopefully will see them back in the championship this summer, and we're going to be sending, as part of the Next Fan Flyaway, perhaps you and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championships in June. And what you'll get is two tickets to the game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, two nights hotel, $500 of spending money. Just head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered our Fan Flyaway back in February to Vegas, good news, you're already signed up for this and all other future flyaway contest. So get yourself signed up for that. Thank you, everybody. Great job on the text line. You were awesome today. Rogue Fever, thank you very much. For Mark Schlereth, we'll say goodbye. Hand it over to Dover and Stoke next.